Hello, this is Jack Llewellyn from the Durango Chamber of Commerce, and for all things chamber, go to durangobusiness.org, and for all things flying in or out of Durango, you can go to, is it flydurango.com, or what is it, Tony
It sure
Vaccari?
is. You got it. Flydurango.com.
Well, your official title, I'm just going to call you Guru of Airport Operations. How's that?
That works for me. If you want the official title, it's the aviation director at the Durango La Plata County Airport, but I like Guru. That sounds good.
Yeah, well, you are you've been at the helm for how long now?
Time flies, 6 years at this point.
Oh, wow. Wow, I see. I can't believe it's that. It has flown, and you have a lot of things happening out at the airport. I'm going to start with the terminal development. What's the latest?
Yeah, lots of exciting news there. And the latest is that we'll actually be breaking ground on the first phase of our terminal development program, which is going to expand and modernize the existing terminal here at DRO in just over a month. So on April 25th, we'll be formally breaking ground on what we call phase 1A of this project. This is a little bit smaller targeted project, but still going to bring some real substantial improvements. We're adding one airline boarding gate and seating area, new grab and go concessions in the other half of our post-screening area of the terminal that's currently not served by any kind of active food and beverage concessions. Building out all new public restrooms that are available post-screening, adding two additional family restrooms and a nursing room for mothers traveling with infants. And so we're really excited to be able to do that. We'll break ground in April. We're looking at about 10 to 12 months of construction. We'll be able to commission that space towards the very end of 2023 or into the first quarter of 2024. And then coming on the heels of that, we are going to be looking at breaking ground in later in 2024 on a much larger phase 1B of this project, which is a really sweeping project that's going to really reset the entire look, feel, and size and capacity of the terminal here in Durango. So lots coming.
And, you know, and you, I want to be remiss if I didn't mention last year you did the repaving project for the runway, and that went right on time, right on schedule, if not early, if I'm trying to remember.
You recall correctly. Yeah, we repaved our sole runway in September of 2022. It was a huge project for us. It was about a $12 million pavement project here in Durango, taking care of the most valuable asset we have, which is the runway. So that project, we're really happy to be able to say, went extremely smoothly. We had a great airport team associated with that, a really great contracting team, and Four Corners Materials, a local general contractor on the paving side, that did a bang-up job on that effort. And you're right, we had a 10-day hard closure that was publicized a year in advance. That was a tough period. We shut off air service to the community for 10 days, but a necessary band-aid to have to rip off to maintain that asset through that duration. And you're right, we opened the runway about 5 hours early on the back end, which is always a good thing.
See, yeah, that clock was ticking, but no, and what a great, like you said, an asset you have to have. If you don't have the runway and maintain it, then obviously you're going to have issues. Now, for the runway to handle the aircraft, I've heard, I want to talk about the routes, and then also I've heard about the Airbus 319, the bigger jets that are going to be servicing.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we look at our route map, we continue to be served by United and American Airlines. They both have daily service into Durango. United serves Denver 5 to 6 times a day, and American serves Dallas and Phoenix currently each 3 times daily. So that route map has not changed substantially in the last year or two. However, what is changing, what you mentioned, is that United Airlines will be launching their first service with Airbus A319 equipment here in Durango on March 26th, which is very near at this point. And so we're excited to be able to see that in our market. It's not serving a new destination, so still flying to Denver. However, it's a much larger aircraft than what we currently see. That aircraft seats 126 individuals, and that's almost double what we see on a daily basis, where most of the aircraft for United and American are in the 50 to 76 seat range on that front. And so we've seen that increasing, we call it upgauging, which is just larger equipment over time in our market. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it wasn't common to see 30 to 50 seat aircraft in the market. We outgrew that some time ago to the point where 50 seat aircraft were the norm, and now 76 seat aircraft are the norm. So being able to pull in a 126 seat Airbus A319 for one daily flight to Denver on United is going to add additional capacity into the market. provide for higher reliability with mainline equipment flown by United personnel, which is great. And also, it's just fun to see a big aircraft serving the market. It's really indicative of the growth that we've seen and the strength of the market.
You know, and I think that, you know, that's important to, you know, take note, because things continue to grow. And I'm curious, and I didn't prep you for this question, so if you don't have the answer off the top of your, you know, mind, I remember, you know, way back when airlines were surprised at the outbound traffic, you know, from the amount of business travelers that were, you know, being generated, you know, heading out. Are we still seeing that, or are we seeing a balance of inbound and outbound?
Yeah, great question. So we have a pretty good sense of that. And the balance got skewed in a lot of ways during the pandemic. We saw big changes in our travel profile, or the traveler profile, rather. So during the pandemic, what we saw is that our local users here in the region flew a lot less. People stayed home and stayed in Southwest Colorado and the Four Corners region. And that has since reverted back. And we've seen those folks come back to the airport in really strong numbers, to the point where we exceed those pre-pandemic numbers. On the flip side, our visitation soared during the pandemic. As I think we all know, we saw a huge amount of inbound visitation. People wanted to get into the mountains, the great outdoors, and everything that we offer in this region. So we saw a really significant spike during 2020, 2021, and we started to see that normalize in 2022. And actually, we're almost exactly back to where we started in terms of that breakdown, where we see a little more visitation in the summer, a little less in the winter, and then vice versa for the local travelers. In the end, it breaks out to almost a 50-50 breakdown between local versus visitors. So sometimes people, you know, look at Durango and sort of make an assumption that's at a tourism-based airport, when in reality, basically half of our traffic is locals flying out for whatever reason that might be. And we still, even though it's decreased quite a bit during the pandemic, see a very strong business travel profile at the airport. Not just a leisure travel type of market. That number did drop quite a bit nationwide in the pandemic, as we've seen the advent of Zoom and Teams and remote working and things of that nature. But, you know, that business traffic still represents about 30% of all of our flyers.
And I'm curious, you know, just because I'm a novice traveler, you know, I haven't traveled, actually, it's been probably about a year and a half, and, you know, no particular reason, but I'm curious, are there better days, if you're a local, are there better days to travel? And I am going to talk to you too about the airfare club. So are there better days to travel? And then, yeah, we'll talk about the airfare club.
Yeah, good question. I would say, you know, there's slower, there's busier and less busy days, effectively, on that kind of front. People ask that a lot, you know, is there a better day to travel with lower fares and things of that nature? In general, there's not a huge amount of variety. There tend to be a couple of slow days during the week where you can sometimes squeeze out a little better fares and find some opportunity. And typically, those days are Tuesdays and Saturdays, tend to be the two slowest days of the week, and just in terms of a 7-day week and where we see those peakings. You know, the peak days for us tend to be Sundays, Mondays, and kind of Thursday, Friday. So we see a lot of weekend-based travel where people, as you might expect, are bridging the weekend. You know, they're flying out on a Thursday or Friday, coming back on a Sunday or a Monday, or, you know, vice versa, trying to bridge a whole week or just the weekend. And so consequently, the Tuesdays and Saturdays, slowest days of the week, Wednesdays kind of close. So sometimes you can find a little better airfare deal on those days, because that's common throughout the whole U.S. air system in Durango. And so consequently, the airlines, of course, are trying to fill those seats all days of the week. And so you can sometimes find a little deal. So take a look at Tuesdays and Saturdays if you're trying to be a savvy deal finder.
Yeah, well, and then if you really want to be savvy, join the airfare club, which I get that email every Saturday morning. I'm always like, okay, where do I want to go? So how do people sign up for that and tell us what it is?
Yeah, it's a Durango Airfare, Durango Airport Airfare Club. It's very simple. It's just a quick one-page sign up. You submit your email address. It's free. And as Jack mentioned there, we send out one email a week, nice and easy. We don't bombard everyone with all kinds of emails. And it's quite simply a quick email on Saturday mornings that goes out, denoting specific good flight deals that we've found into or out of the market. And these can be all over the country, or in some cases, all over the world. And they tend to be outliers where we see deals that are significantly lower priced than what average airfare are. And so trying to call attention to those on that front, we're not selling anything or pushing any deal or specific, you know, vendors or anything of that nature, just trying to highlight opportunities for folks. And, you know, they can sometimes be close in travel, but often they're not. Sometimes they're usually they're months out in reality. But what it does require sometimes is to get the best deal. You have to be able to make a decision pretty quick. Your travel might not be for 2, 3, 4, 5 months out, but you might have to make a decision within a few days or sometimes even sooner to take advantage of that deal. But it's very much real and can be done out there. And we've a lot of cool success stories from folks that have made, you know, international travel for very low prices, sometimes, you know, under $500 for international round trip fares, if they're willing to be a little flexible with dates and destination.
Yeah. Well, you know, looking at last Saturday's, I mean, Dallas Fort Worth had a deal for $357. Monterey, California was $390. And, you know, you mentioned international. Shannon, Ireland, from $641 round trip. So they always seem like they have one international travel destination in there. And again, it's so easy to sign up. And you're right, you guys only send, or they send one email, and it's usually right around, let's see, mine arrives Saturday mornings, right around 8 o'clock, it looks like. And yeah, if you're flexible and click on that link, it can certainly save you a lot of money. And it's great destinations.
Yeah, it's a cool product. And if anyone's interested, you can go to flydurango.com, the airport's website, and just look up the Durango Airport Airfare Club. It's a simple sign up and test it out.
Now, I'm curious what's going on with, you know, like the parking out there. And I've heard a rumor that part of the renovation, you're going to have an EV charger added.
Yeah, absolutely. So we talk about the terminal a lot, which is everyone experiences that, but the parking aspect is definitely another piece that is under pressure for us as we continue to grow. For those that are frequent users of the airport, you'll know that oftentimes our parking can be in somewhat short supply. We've added significant amount of overflow spaces over the last 5 years, so we very rarely have a true shortage of parking. However, those overflow lots are unpaved, rotomill, gravel type surfaces on that front. And so they do have a little bit lower level of service. However, we're excited. We're actually kicking off design right now for the first phase of some landside development for us, which will involve the paving and expansion of what we currently call our upper overflow lot. So we'll be looking to pave out about 250 additional spaces in this time next year, spring of 2024. We're working on the design right now. So that's exciting. And then, as you mentioned, we are indeed this summer planning to install our first public electric vehicle charging stations in the paid parking lot to allow for long dwell customers at the airport to be able to plug in their EVs and make sure that when they come fly back home, they've got a topped off vehicle and are ready to head back to wherever home may be. So we're excited to deliver that, you know, as part of the terminal development program. It's more than just building. It's also the roadways and parking lots to make sure it's a good experience all around for our users.
And along that line, something that you hope you never have to see for I'm not sure how to phrase that otherwise, but a new fire truck, which, you know, you forget that you out at the airport have your whole, you have an entire fire department out there.
We do. Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that for good reason. In general, the airport does maintain, we call it, it's an ARF department, which is aircraft rescue firefighting. So we have a 10 person fire department here at the airport, full-time airport staff members. They're cross-trained and do a lot of our day-to-day operational duties as well, but they're trained to respond to any kind of an aircraft incident or accident that may occur. Thankfully, those are very few and far between. Our aviation system here in the United States is well known throughout the world as the safest in the world, and we very rarely have incidents, but we're definitely grateful to have those trained staff on our team ready to respond if something were to happen, even if it's a minor issue overall. And as such, we have two aircraft rescue firefighting vehicles we use for first responder responses, and we are in the procurement process to replace one of those vehicles. So the ARF staff here at the airport are pretty excited to get a brand new, you know, very, very large, very pricey vehicle to be able to respond to in the event of either medical or aircraft emergencies.
Yeah. All right. Real quick, again, what is the website for the Durango Airport?
Yep, flydurango.com.
All right, flydurango.com. And I invite people to, again, sign up for the Airfare Club. And for all things Chamber, you can simply go to durangobusiness.org. So, Tony, thanks for joining me. And we'll hang on because I'm going to ask you some questions off air, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right.